The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the show, send it to kpcg.fm. Well, the feeding frenzy continues. The major media in the United States in particular, but all over the world, really. It's finally found the cause of everything that's wrong with the United States of America. And its name is Donald J. Trump.
Trump has opened a fault line that cuts across the political landscape, and one that some fear could further endanger American security.
The plan simply put by Trump is simply unconstitutional, according to experts.
Legal experts believe his proposal to ban Muslims from entry is unconstitutional.
Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson has resisted criticizing Trump's comments until today. Johnson now sees Trump's latest words as a real national security threat.
Many security officials are raising the concern that the act of barring Muslims from entering this country would likely inspire more hostility toward the U.S., playing into the hands of ISIS and ultimately put us in more danger.
Defense experts say Trump's rhetoric plays right into ISIS's strategy.
Well, people just see that this is a leading candidate, so who has the support of a large percentage of Americans, who's making these hateful comments, who wants to ban a whole religion, have people declare their religion when they arrive at the airport. It is not only offensive, offends our allies, but counterproductive.
In my lifetime alone, we have been witness to the consequences of paranoia overriding reason. During World War II, law-abiding Japanese-American citizens were herded into remote internment camps, losing their jobs, businesses, and social standing, while an all-Japanese-American division fought heroically in Europe. At the same time, in Germany, a regime that declared war on its own citizens if they were Jewish, and Germany paid the ultimate price. Defeat and history's condemnation. But after the war, America still had to learn about demagoguery the hard way. Senator Joe McCarthy's reckless anti-communist witch hunt.
It has been labeled.
Making ever more outrageous claims, damaging reputations, until one day.
Have you no sense of decency, sir?
All of that while African Americans, whose ancestors came here as slaves, were treated as second or even third-class citizens in uniform and out.
Yes, the jihadists are radical Muslims, but they're a minority in a world with 1.5 billion Muslims. Even so, defeating ISIS will be long, hard, and expensive. Perhaps even more so now, because ISIS is likely to use Donald Trump's statements as a recruiting tool.
Those are clips from one 30-minute national news broadcast in the United States, one of the major networks in the U.S., Tuesday night, a 30-minute broadcast, 20 minutes, I guess, if you take away the commercials. And this is the top story. It's been the top story all week in the United States. Donald Trump's hateful comments, unconstitutional, endangering American society, security. It's going to inspire more hostility toward the U.S., put the U.S. in danger. Paranoia sets in, and on it goes. This is just one of many, many examples. And isn't it interesting that so many news outlets now suddenly are very concerned about what's constitutional and what's unconstitutional? Here, America has had an administration for the past 7 years that's been actively and aggressively undermining the U.S. Constitution every step of the way. And now suddenly, the most powerful voices in the mainstream media, they are gravely concerned about upholding the U.S. Constitution. They're gravely concerned about one statement from one American businessman. And meanwhile, look at what has been happening in the White House, at Congress, all over Washington for going on 7 years. In September 2012, a panel of experts cited a number of cases, a number of actions taken by the Obama administration. And according to this panel of experts, there before the House Judiciary Committee, they said that as president, Barack Obama has made a habit of bypassing or ignoring constitutional limitations on his power. This is the opinion of constitutional scholars, that this president has made a habit of bypassing and ignoring constitutional limitations. The New York Times, that same year, this is just 2012, the Times wrote, increasingly in recent months, the administration has been seeking ways to act without Congress. You've heard all about this if you've read The Trumpet, if you've read America Under Attack. Even the president's allies in the media have known that this has been going on. They know it's happening. They've known it's been happening for years. Whether it's the Affordable Care Act, using a powerful government agency to persecute opponents, political opponents, the unilateral action to bring down Gaddafi in Libya, bypassing Congress in that case, drone strikes, recess appointments, releasing felons from prison, and on it goes. National Review wrote in 2013, Congress's supine ceding of its powers and the Obama administration's usurpation of both legal and extra-legal powers is worrisome. Well, it's worrisome, National Review said. But what is particularly disturbing is the quiet, polite, workaday manner with which the administration goes about its business and with which the American public accepts it. It's just business as usual. The administration quietly goes about its business, and the American public and the American media just steps aside and allows it. But now the ruling class, now the leftist media, they are outraged. They're outraged because of a statement that might be, assuming this is an action that's eventually taken by one that might be voted as president of the United States. They're outraged because of a statement that might be, that could be, perhaps, unconstitutional. Well, leave aside the fact that it isn't. But where has the outrage been the past 7 years? Let me just play for you a clip from James Comey, the FBI director. This is from testimony yesterday about the terrorist attack in California last week.
San Bernardino involved two killers who were radicalized for quite a long time before their attack. In fact, our investigation to date, which I can only say so much about at this point, indicates that they were actually radicalized before they started courting or dating each other online. And online, as early as the end of 2013, they were talking to each other about jihad and martyrdom before they became engaged and then married and lived together in the United States.
These are the two jihadists. For years, they had been radicalized. Both of them. The New York Times said today that Farouk, the man at the center of last week's massacre, might have plotted an attack as far back as 2012 with one of his longtime friends. It says, in addition, the FBI revealed Wednesday that Mr. Farouk and his wife were discussing jihad and martyrdom online in 2013, before they were married. It says the new timeline suggests that the couple were considering violent action before the Islamic State rose to prominence in 2014 and began trying to inspire sympathizers to carry out attacks in the West. And the disclosures, notice this, the disclosures raise questions about how thoroughly American law enforcement and immigration officials vetted the wife before giving her a visa to enter the United States from Pakistan a year before the shooting. Now, who's responsible for this security breach? Who's behind it? Is it Donald Trump? Is he to be blamed for this attack? Or for the Boston bombing? Or for the wide open borders? That same FBI director, by the way, he said in October, this is just 2 months ago, less than 2 months, he said that the federal government does not have the ability to conduct thorough background checks on all of the 10,000 Syrian refugees that the Obama administration wants to let into the United States. These are Islamic refugees from Syria, of all places. And according to the FBI director, we can only query against that which we've collected. And as he went on to say in that testimony in October, we haven't collected anything on those refugees because we have no presence there. We're no longer in Iraq. We're not in Syria. And so we can't vet them. Now, what poses the greater threat to America's security? Going back to this montage of clips from NBC, what is it that poses the greater threat to America's security? A sitting president who insists that the doors remain wide open to Muslim refugees, even from Syria, of all places, and even after his own FBI director says we can't properly vet them. Or an American businessman who says we ought to put a temporary ban on all Muslim immigration. What is the greater threat to America's security? And as for the point about using the statement of Donald Trump as a recruiting tool for ISIS, the fact of the matter is, ISIS wouldn't even exist today were it not for the sudden and abrupt withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq in 2011. Who did that? Who was behind that move? Was it Donald J. Trump? Was it Donald Trump's idea to evacuate, to pull out the troops? And what happened after that? Well, ISIS filled the vacuum left by that troop withdrawal and has since established its own state, all in a matter of just 2 or 3 years. And through that same time, the sitting president of the United States has assured the American people they're small potatoes, nothing to worry about there, junior varsity team, not a serious threat. They're on the run. They're isolated. They're in a remote location. As recent as 7 days ago, the president of the United States told the American people that ISIS will not pose an existential threat to America. It will not pose an existential threat. But now the major media tells us that defeating ISIS will be long. It will be hard. It will be expensive. And perhaps even more so now because of what Donald Trump said. Are they being honest? Are they being honest with the American people? That same report from there at the end of that collection of clips. Here Trump's being accused of bringing back slavery. Even compared to Adolf Hitler. Hitler's persecution of the Jews. That's an interesting comparison as well when you consider the supposed anti-Muslim backlash that so many in the media say will happen now that Mr. Trump made a comment. Did you know the FBI just released its latest report on hate crimes in the United States? And 57% of religious-based hate crimes committed in the U.S. just last year, they were aimed at Jews. They were aimed at Jews. Muslims were the target of about 15%. Now, the Jewish population is about twice the size of the Muslim population. But still, how do you explain the fact that Jews were the target of four times as many hate crimes as Muslims in the United States last year? Powerline, the blog, said this about that FBI report. One hate crime against anybody is too many, but when we consider the size of this country and the relatively small number of religious-based hate crime, this phenomenon doesn't strike me as a serious problem. If it is one, it's more of a problem for American Jews than for American Muslims. Well, that's based on facts. That analysis is based on statistics. But most of what you've been hearing this week is based upon an agenda. It's based upon emotion. It's based upon a narrative. And it's not going to change. Carolyn Glick, by the way, she had a column a couple of weeks ago about America's war against the Jews. She said the foundations of American Jewish life are under assault today in ways that were unimaginable a generation ago. Academia is ground zero of the onslaught. The protest movements on campus are first and foremost anti-Jewish movements. She says despite the substantial funds that have been devoted to fighting anti-Israel forces on campus, they have been diminished. To the contrary, with each passing year, they've grown more powerful and menacing. And then she goes on to just give a sampling of all the anti-Jewish incidents that have taken place in recent weeks. But in listening to the major media today, they're telling you about all kinds of other supposed problems, dangerous problems. They're telling you about national security being breached. They're telling you about all kinds of unconstitutional acts when there are none. They're making comparisons to Adolf Hitler, to the Japanese internment camps, to slavery. Defeating ISIS will be long, hard, and expensive. And oh, Donald Trump has made it so much worse. He's made it so much more difficult. Now it's going to be longer. Now it's going to be harder. Now it's going to be even more expensive. You can see why there's so many people in the United States that are just fed up. You can see why Trump's campaign is resonating with lots of people. Among voters in general, even after, well, this is according to a Bloomberg poll. They were asked, pollsters asked people, this week Donald Trump called for a temporary ban on all Muslims who are citizens of foreign countries from entering the United States. Do you favor or oppose this proposal? Among likely voters, 37% favor it. 37% of Americans. 65% of likely Republican voters favor what he just said. And you have the mainstream media drawing comparisons between him and Adolf Hitler. Well, they're also, you might have noticed, quite happy to benefit from the ratings boom that they get, inevitably, when they run their stories, their pieces on this candidate, Mr. Trump. This is from Newsbusters this morning. I think this was from yesterday morning. So it was about, basically, it was about the news from Monday and Tuesday. So it's a little bit behind where we are right this moment. In any event, it says the morning and evening news broadcasts on ABC, CBS, NBC have dedicated a whopping 105 minutes, or that's an hour and 45 minutes, to criticism of Trump's comments about restricting Muslim immigration since Trump made the comments on December 7th. NBC had the most coverage of Trump's comments at 42 minutes. Well, and then it gives the breakdown. It says on NBC Nightly News, December 8th, former anchor Tom Brokaw declared that Trump's proposed ban of all Muslims is much more than a shouted campaign provocation, but rather is a dangerous proposal that overrides history, the law, and the foundation of America itself. NBC's Today, on December 9th, ran clips of White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest calling out Trump for his outright lies and fake hair. On CBS This Morning, co-host Charlie Rose speculated that Trump's rhetoric could turn some Muslims who were prepared to give information against us. Because I guess ISIS had trouble getting recruits until Monday. Look at the expansion of this outfit. Look at the expansion of this movement, not just ISIS, Al-Qaeda. And of course, you have Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror, behind it all. And they're getting ready to add nukes to their arsenal. It says on ABC's Good Morning America, correspondent Matt Gutman cited the Terror-Friendly Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE. That's the Muslim Brotherhood front group, to credit Trump's comments with a spike in anti-Muslim incidents in the United States. That's what they're saying. That's what CARE says. That's what the media says is happening. And what do the statistics say is happening? How many in the major media do you suppose would show up for an incident on a university campus where a Jew is persecuted? It says, for contrast, after briefly covering President Obama's poorly received national address on Sunday night, the broadcast networks quickly turned their attention back to their favorite topic, bashing Donald Trump. On Monday morning, CBS's Major Garrett noted that reviews of the president's speech were lukewarm before he went on to defend it, while ABC's Good Morning America hailed the speech as historic. Then the networks pivoted to the Trump story. On Monday night, the evening news shows had only 3 minutes of coverage of President Obama's speech, the same night they spent three times as much time on Donald Trump's comments. Since then, the networks have not mentioned President Obama's speech or his strategy against ISIS. Last week he says ISIS doesn't pose a threat. And then on Sunday night, in response to America's outrage over the terrorist attack, he speaks before the nation and says there's really nothing that we're going to do different. We've got them on the run. We've stopped a lot of attacks. If we do anything different, we're going to pass some kind of gun control legislation. And that's it. And there's nothing really to report on there. There's nothing really to analyze there. There certainly isn't anything to criticize there. All of that, of course, is saved for the cause of everything that's wrong with America. My father wrote an article back in 2002, and I went back and reviewed it this morning. It's titled, Where Media Bias is Leading Us. Where is this leading? This is a pretty old article. I mean, media bias is nothing new, but this is something worse than that. And we should ask, where is this leading? My father said, this is from 2002, we have a right to expect more of news leaders who influence many millions of viewers. In fact, Mr. Goldberg, he's talking about this book that, I forget his first name, but he wrote a book called Bias, Bernard Goldberg. It says here, Bernard Goldberg likens them, those in the media, to the mafia. And then my father says, I wish that were an exaggeration, but I fear it's not. They have a duty to make some changes. They expose the Watergate corruption, but the corruption of our news could be far worse in its impact on our society. Our journalists who so often preach responsibility, are they going to exude irresponsibility? Can they, who hold so many accountable, be so arrogantly unaccountable? Will they, who expose so much scandal, be so scandalous? He said it's time for more people to speak out. Indeed, it is. Are they who, well, you have to say now, in the past have exposed so much scandal? Are they going to be so scandalous as to cover up the truth or cover up true scandal? We're living through a fundamental transformation of the United States of America, and it's being brought on by numerous acts that are unconstitutional. And all of this is discussed in America Under Attack. And there are solutions. There is hope. But we have to turn to Bible prophecy for that. You're not going to find it in the newsrooms across America. You're not going to find it on publications, in publications, on websites. Not unless you read the trumpet. Not unless you dig into the Bible. Not unless you get God's perspective. God tells us why this is happening. In fact, God tells us where this is leading, and that's what's really discussed or asked in this article from 2002. Where is this media bias leading? My father said a wrong spirit has entered the newsroom. This is a danger to any free society. The more power they get, the more dangerous they become. Such a spirit deeply divides our people. Respect for the media is seriously damaged along with their credibility. In Bias, that book by Bernard Goldberg, in Bias, there's a quote by Stephen Brill who says, when it comes to arrogance, power, and lack of accountability, Journalists are probably the only people on the planet who make lawyers look good. Look at the arrogance. Look at the lack of accountability. Look at the scare tactics. Look at the paranoia. They blame that, or say that Trump's guilty of that. But look at the tactics that so many in the media are resorting to. My father concludes here. Notice this. What is this problem doing to our people? They see the media are not really seeking the truth as they profess to be. This causes the people to rely more and more on themselves. On themselves. The nation of ancient Israel fell just before they collapsed. The Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's from Judges 21 and verse 25. They didn't trust anybody but themselves. They made the same mistakes then that we're making today. And what happened anciently? Well, he says there, the nation collapsed. Let's look over at Ezekiel 33. Look at a few scriptures here before we pause for a few moments. Ezekiel 33. And starting in verse 7. Where is this leading? Well, it's leading to this. Every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Everybody's got a solution. Everybody's got their perfect solution for how to fix all of these problems. And the problems just worsen. Verse 7 of Ezekiel 33, "See you, O son of man, I've set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." Warn them, God says to his servant. Give a warning. Warn this world. Warn these nations about what's coming. And verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God is talking here about the death of nations. And how short-sighted it is, how ignorant it is, how biased it is to focus in on one individual. I mean, really a nobody, as far as God's concerned. That nations, it says in Isaiah 40, are just like a drop in the bucket. And yet this obsession with one U.S. businessman, this obsession with a candidate, a political candidate, when what we're actually going through, this transformation, it's leading to the death of this nation. You can read the rest of the chapter here. Well, it says in the last few verses, they're going to know. They're going to know there was a prophet among them. They're going to know there was a voice, a booming voice coming out of Edmond, Oklahoma. They're going to know that the truth was there, that the truth was available to them all along. Let's look over at Jeremiah chapter 45, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah conducted his work there in the last days of Judah, and he had to have courage to give the warning that he gave. This short chapter here, chapter 45, it has to do with Jeremiah's scribe, Baruch. It says, "The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus says the Eternal, the God of Israel, unto you, O Baruch, you did say, Woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest." Here, Baruch, who had been such a faithful companion to Jeremiah, he started to turn inward. He started to look at his own problems and struggles, even as nations were dying. Even as his own nation was dying. "Thus shall you say unto him," verse 4, "the Lord says thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seek you great things for yourself, Baruch? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, says the Eternal, but your life will I give unto you for a prey, or a prize in all places where you go." Everything around us is about to fall apart. Nations are falling. Our peoples are to be punished. This is the time to really get our minds off of ourselves and onto what God is doing, what His work is doing. Can we get our minds off of self and onto the work that God is doing? It's easy, even in the midst of all these problems, to make the same mistake that Baruch made, to turn inward, to say, well, what's the point? What's the point? Let's just hole up and do our own thing and try to tune out all the noise. Jesus said, watch and pray always. God told Ezekiel, you get out there and warn. He said the same thing to Jeremiah. There's not too many people that are heeding that warning, that's for sure. But what an important work we're involved in. To be doing the work of God, to be proclaiming the truth of God, even as nations are dying, and to proclaim that message and to deliver that warning out of love for our people, out of love for our nations. That's what you're involved in. That's what you're participating in. You who support the work of God's church, the work of God's college, the work of re-educating this entire earth. That's what it's leading to. Once Jesus Christ's return is upon us, and once the government of God, once the kingdom of God is established on this earth. When we come back, we're going to look at, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but when we come back, we're going to look at the impact that Mr. Trump's statement has had on this part of the world, the UK, Scotland, this region, leaders in the UK, the media here in the United Kingdom. I think we have enough time to get into that in some detail when we come back. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to email us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the Literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Driven by the hysteria surrounding Trump's remarks on Monday, Robert Gordon University in Scotland just stripped the U.S. businessman of an honorary degree that it awarded Mr. Trump back in 2012. That made headlines a couple of days ago, as did Prime Minister Cameron's statement. This actually came from his official spokeswoman, who said the PM completely disagrees with the comments made by Donald Trump, which are divisive, unhelpful, and quite simply wrong. The Prime Minister is clear that as we look at how we tackle extremism and this poisonous ideology, what politicians need to do is look at ways that can bring communities together and make clear these terrorists are not representative of Islam. Indeed, what they are doing is a perversion of Islam. Islam, they say, is a religion of peace. And so we as leaders, as politicians, we've got to bring everyone together. And well, Britain has certainly been doing that, as has been the United States. Multiculturalism. Bring everyone together as one. Is it working? Is it working out for our nations? If Trump's suggestion isn't the answer, what is the answer? Well, only God has it. And he's the last place that people will look, that people will look to for answers. You see the same unanimous message here in the UK as was the case in the US. I brought that out yesterday. Democrat, Republican, everyone in between. Everyone can agree that it's racist. It's hateful. It's unconstitutional. It's not American. They're in agreement over here as well on both sides of the aisle. Opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn. He says that Trump's remarks were an affront to common humanity. And he called on people to unite against racism. Strong statements coming from leaders on both sides of the pond. And then look at the statistics. I gave you the ones from America before the break. There's a YouGov poll on this side of the pond. U.S. Republican Party presidential candidate Donald Trump has called for a ban on all Muslims entering the United States, including Muslims seeking immigration visas as well as tourists. Do you think this is an appropriate or inappropriate policy for the U.S.? 25% of Britons say yes, appropriate. Another 11% are not sure. They're not going to say it's inappropriate, but they're not going to yet say it's appropriate. That's a pretty significant chunk of the UK population, is it not? I'm not saying Trump has the solutions by any means. But how is this going to get resolved? If it's not a total ban, or on the other extreme, if it's not wide open borders, what is it? What is it? How do you ensure security and peace? Let me just play for you what this is the London mayor, Boris Johnson, what he said yesterday regarding Trump's remarks.
I think Donald Trump is clearly out of his mind. If you think that's a sensible way to proceed, you can't ban people going to the United States in that way, or indeed to any country. And what he's doing is playing the game of the terrorists and those who seek to divide us. That is exactly the kind of reaction they hope to produce. And I have to say, when Donald Trump says that there are parts of London that are no-go areas, I think he's betraying a quite stupefying ignorance that makes him, frankly, unfit to hold the office of President of the United States.
He's unfit, says Boris Johnson. Very similar to what President Obama's spokesman said earlier this week. He's not fit. And anyone that would not denounce his remarks is also unfit. But I think what made Mr. Johnson especially upset was Trump's remarks about the no-go zones in the UK. He says that's not true. He said in remarks elsewhere that, well, actually, I think it's from this article here that I have included in my notes. It's a Breitbart piece, London police officer confirms Donald Trump, UK radicalization claims. A London police officer has confirmed to Breitbart, London, that Britain's coppers or police are more alert and vigilant because of what he calls Islamification in the UK's capital city. Confirming in part U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump's claims that London police are more afraid for their lives in areas prone to radicalization. Mr. Trump's comments were derided by the British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, as well as London's part-time mayor Boris Johnson and Prime Minister David Cameron. It says he said in a speech this week that parts of London are so radicalized the police are afraid for their lives. But a police source has spoken out against the claims made by the British political establishment, telling Breitbart that Islamification is not new and that it is not just London that has a problem. I mean, London, after all, was attacked. They were hit massively just 10 years ago. The city of London. Are we to just turn a blind eye to those sections of the city or of Birmingham or wherever? These regions that are turning out so many radicalized Islamist fighters, some of them by the hundreds even, going to Syria and then coming back. It says a Downing Street spokesman said the British PM completely disagreed with Mr. Trump and thinks his views are wrong, while Mr. Cameron's old school friend, Boris Johnson, joined in the fray, quipping, "The only reason I wouldn't go to some parts of New York is the real risk of meeting Donald Trump." Okay, so we can make fun of his hair. We can make fun of his statements. But the fact remains, there are ongoing cases by the hundreds in the United States, open cases of ISIS investigations and who knows how many here in the UK. You have hundreds of fighters returning from Syria. This article, Breitbart says, but a metropolitan police officer speaking on condition of anonymity told Breitbart, Islamification has and is occurring. Muslim areas are not new. The officer, who has most of his experience in West London and across various police agencies, added, when I was a teenage lad in Burnley, there were no-go white areas. This is the case still nationally, including London, where you have to have extra vigilance in certain parts when you are working. Another serving police officer confirmed the restrictions. He told LBC Radio Police, police weren't scared, but admitted bosses had told officers to avoid wearing uniforms in certain places in the capital. Avoid wearing the police uniforms, else you make yourself a target. I recall similar statements made to British military servicemen after the case of the beheading a couple of years ago. Well, we're here to report the truth. And more important than that, to give you the significance of these events from a prophetic standpoint. It's all grounded, though, in truth, isn't it? It has to be. What are the dangers that our nations are facing? Where is this leading? Going back to my father's article before the break, where is this bias, this agenda? Where is it leading the United States? And what does it mean for Britain, for so many of its leaders, conservative and liberal alike, to just pretend that the problem is not there? What happens in Britain if Britain gets hit again? John 8 and verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we at KPCG, those of us who work with thetrumpet.com, the Trumpet magazine, we work hard at analyzing the important developments in the news behind the news that means something in relation to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, the kind of news that you're not going to be reading about at your favorite website or in your local newspaper. How important is it to have this as your news source, whether it's the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the Key of David program, the Trumpet Magazine, to understand the hidden meaning behind the news, the real world that you're living in? The Bible will help you make sense of it all. And you're just not going to find the truth from any other source, except from God, except from God's work. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to send us your feedback. We're pushing hard up against the end of this week. As we wind this week down, send us your comments to td at kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.